Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. Man, am I excited. I have one of the coolest people on the planet with us today. She is a jazz vocalist and musician. I think 6, 7, 8 albums to her credit. She is an entrepreneur. She coaches other entrepreneurs. She has her own fascinating podcast, fascinating entrepreneurs. Please welcome my good friend, Natasha Miller. Natasha, how are you?
Hi, Don. So, so good to see you. Really great to reconnect.
It is my pleasure. And so I think we met 2, 3, 4 years ago. I'm always horrible. You know, people ask, when was that? I'm like, I don't know, sometime back there.
Right.
But we, I think I was helping Entrepreneurs Organization, which we're both members. Yes. And I think I was helping them vet speakers.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were looking for the top 20 speakers in the entire planet, okay, to be represented to all of the chapters, 180, 90 chapters around the world. And you were one of the applicants. And obviously you made the grade. And so I think that's where, is that how we met?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So love that. And so in addition to being jazz musician, vocalist, entrepreneur, podcast host, like, is there anything you don't do? I mean, that's would be the question.
I can do pretty much anything I put my mind to that I need to do. I'm not good at cooking.
Well, you know, a person can't be good at everything.
Yeah, I know where the buttons on the microwave are, and that's, that's it.
And then I think, if memory serves me right, I think you are not born and raised in the Bay Area. I think you are born and raised in a flyover state like me. I'm from Kansas originally. And so where are you from?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Iowa, very similar to Kansas. Yes. Very agricultural, little oil and gas and some other stuff. But you, like I, left at some point and found other digs. So, okay. So your main business, I believe, is Entire Productions.
That's correct.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what you do at Entire Productions, what Entire Productions does, who you serve.
Mm-hmm. We are an event and entertainment production company, and we produce corporate events because of where we're at. It sounds like I'm bragging. I kind of am, but Google and Salesforce and LinkedIn and Apple, and you just keep naming all those names, and we've done work with them. So everything from providing entertainment of every genre and every discipline, from headliners to local talent for their parties. And then also separate from that, we also can and do plan from A to Z their events. So it's two divisions, really, full event production or just entertainment production.
Awesome. And how long when did you found Entire Productions?
20 years ago. We just celebrated our 20th year.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's quite an accomplishment. It means you started out as a young lass of about 7 when you started. And so, okay, so that's awesome. So tell me, let's go all the way back to little Natasha. Okay, way back in the cornfields, back in Des Moines. And were your parents, were they entrepreneurial?
Not at all. My dad worked for the city of Des Moines with the Homeless Coalition, and my mom was a stay-at-home housewife mother.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. And so, you know, what I seem to find is this, it's about 50-50 entrepreneurs who had an entrepreneurial parent. And then others like myself, my dad was in the United States Marine Corps. And my mom stayed at home, and that's about as unentrepreneurial as it gets, even though today he's an entrepreneur. And so, you know, it can happen at any time.
There is a story, I think. I believe I know how I became an entrepreneur. And it's, I think it's very important for me to share with people. And I have a memoir coming out, which will illuminate this, but I have been on my own since I was 16. Wow. And I was playing professionally, not making a lot of money, but getting paid to play the violin, classical violin, since I was 15. And when you are on your own at 16, you either go down the road of no return with various addictions that keep you from, you know, facing reality, or you can turn into an entrepreneur or a survivor. And that's, I don't know if my life had been more pleasant if I would be the entrepreneur I am today.
I love that. And I think, my parents didn't really make money. And I'm old enough that back then, nobody had money. I don't remember anybody having money as far as that goes. But I knew that I wanted access to more things and places than I had. And I think for many entrepreneurs, actually the big challenge is actually a motivator and a clarifier.
Absolutely.
And of course, I'm in the grandchildren business now, but when I had my children, you know, I think parents want to try and make things easy for their kids. When really maybe the wisdom is to be counterintuitive and actually help them find hard things to overcome, because life is not going to be all easy. There's going to be a certain amount of hard.
I definitely overcorrected with my daughter. And anytime I saw her suffering or facing a challenge, I wanted to fix it for her. I wanted to save her. I wanted to be the person that I was always looking for to save me. Sure. And she's a beautiful almost 26-year-old, but definitely she and I both can look back now and be thankful for how I brought her up and that she didn't have to suffer too much. But also we can both see where the overcorrection may not have been to her best benefit.
Yeah. And I think that's very common. So still we're way back there with little Natasha. Okay. Talk to me about your first job where you actually got paid.
The first job I actually got paid was probably babysitting, but the first job that I actually got paid a significant amount was playing the violin with my string quartet for the governor's second term inauguration.
Wow. And how old would you have been?
15.
15.
So with my string quartet, we played for the reception of his, it was Terry Branstad in Des Moines, Iowa. And that was really the kickoff of my performing career.
That's awesome. And so when did you pick the violin up? How old were you when you started?
I was in fourth grade. So I don't know how old you are in fourth grade, maybe 10?
Yeah, 9 or 10 probably.
Yeah, yes.
So you'd played 5 or 6 years. And were you a natural prodigy?
I was definitely a natural for music. Technically, I probably wasn't the best technical player, but I was able to merge the technical part with the really amped up with the artistry part. And, you know, I was first violin section and eventually in college concert master. I went to colleges on a full ride violin scholarship. So I tricked someone along the way, or a few people.
I doubt it. But, but obviously you were and are a talent. Do you still play today?
I don't play that much, but I can play fairly well. It's interesting. It's kind of like riding a bike. So no, I couldn't whip out a Bruch or Mendelssohn concerto, but yes, I could play something that would impress you.
Yeah. Well, I'd be easy to impress. I play the radio and I can carry a tune, and I have a son who, well, they're both musical, but I have one that literally I think can play. If you leave him alone for an hour with any instrument, he can play and is a really accomplished guitar player, but I don't understand it. I just helped with lessons, that was my job. So on your own at 16, when did you leave Des Moines?
I left Des Moines when I was 23. I really wanted to hightail it to New York. I had grand dreams of being living in the city and doing Broadway. But I was also terrified to have to remember words. And I wasn't an actor. I could sing and I could play the violin. But anyway, I met a guy. We ended up going to San Francisco, which is just fine. It's beautiful over here. And I traveled to New York enough. I didn't need to live there.
Yeah, awesome. So then your first job out of college, out of university, what did you do?
You know, when we were in Des Moines preparing to move to San Francisco, the guy worked as an architect and he was just entry level. So he wasn't making very much money. And so I literally was playing the violin at private events as a profession. I was working at a fitness club. I think I probably also was a waitress. And then to fill in, as if there were more time, I applied at Kelly Services and Manpower. And I just tucked all of my humility into my pocket. And I would do things that, you know, would have been somewhat embarrassing. But I was like, I'm getting myself out of Des Moines. And this is how I'm doing it. And if I have to hand you a flyer in the walkways of downtown Des Moines, so be it.
Yeah, I love that. And so common in the path and journey of an entrepreneur, that work ethic is so high. You know, not only, you know, was the entrepreneur a paper boy, but he had two paper routes. And, you know, and so that's very, very common.
I ended up with $4,000 in the bank. And you know what? I remember this. I remember driving to the bank to deposit each time and feeling like it felt like I was buying candy at a candy store. So my depositing the money actually felt like getting something so sweet and so satisfying, which is a pretty good mindset to be in.
Very positive. Very, very, very positive. And easier to come by from people who had no means earlier. And so, you know, my grandparents on both sides lived through the Depression. And so then when they had means, you know, they really, really enjoyed, you know, not being destitute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, tell us how you started Entire. What happened there?
Yeah. So I was performing at so many mostly social functions as both now a violinist with my string quartet and a jazz artist, jazz vocalist with my jazz ensemble. And when people started asking me, oh, Natasha, are you booked? Or can you perform for us on Friday, this date or another? I would say, you know what? I mean, I am not turning down any gig. I am not turning down any money. So I would say, you know what? I'm booked, but I can bring you in a group that's just like me, but probably better, and manage them for you. And that is how I did that without a business license, without a business name for quite some time, from the age of like 19 through Entire Productions. I hope the IRS doesn't come back for me. But anyway, I was doing it unofficially without a business license until I was about 29. And then I created Entire Productions. And at that time, I was really only sending out people in the genres that I knew and understood. But then it started breaking into dance bands and DJs and then crazy instruments nobody's heard of. It's the Bay Area, so there's so much diversity here. And the requests are very diverse. So that's why now, I mean, we send out cigar rollers, aerialists, LED performers, and then headliners. We've had Harry Connick Jr. and Train and Colby Calais perform at our events. So it kind of spiraled outside of my expertise, thankfully.
Yeah. Oh, I so love that. So when we were trying to come up with a name for this podcast, we got down almost to a coin toss with proven entrepreneur or accidental entrepreneur, because so many entrepreneurs say, well, I didn't really start out to do this, but some doors opened and I walked through those doors. And the next thing you know, I needed to start a company and then I needed to hire people and, you know, on and on it went.
So, never did I ever think that I would be anything but a performance artist. That's what I was put on this earth for. That's what I believed. That's where my passion was. And so it's a big surprise and a lot of fun to be able to have this second career owning this incredible company with great people, great clients. It just, it's happiness that feeds into each other. There's nothing bad. You know, we're not curing cancer, but we are definitely putting a lot of happiness into the world.
Yeah. And you know, so important with my coaching clients. So many times, you know, the question comes up, am I having fun because I'm being successful, or am I being successful because I'm having fun? And I'm like, you're just overthinking it.
Right.
Okay. Who cares?
Just be thankful.
Keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, be grateful. And so I don't know if you know this, but my fourth book, which is a book on gratitude, is coming out next, I'll say 30 days, maybe 15.
And, okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I'm excited. It's been a couple of years. The first three went pretty quick, and this one, it just took a little longer. I'm not sure what happened there, but that's the way it goes. So what about so business is going along pretty good. Okay. And in 20 years, I know you've had, you know, mountaintops and valley lows. Okay. Cause that's how it goes. But business is going along pretty good and looking for a warp speed moment. So sometime in your past when things were going pretty well, but then a couple of things fell into place. And you just had that hockey stick where things just took off.
Yeah, two things. 2015, I found out about the Goldman Sachs 10K SB program. And I flew out to Babson College in Boston and did the program because there was no place in San Francisco, no site. So I was in the blended program. That year also, I became friends and friendly with the CEO of AAA. And his name is Tim. He was a client. He was a friend. He was a mentor. And he really, you know, he sat me down and looked at my finances. And those two things together, I don't know how much it would have helped one off, but helped me grow 65% the next year and then 65% the following year. So I would have to point to just plain old education, access to the right information. Now, I was proud of creating this business and bootstrapping it and making up my own rules as I went along. Had I known what kind of growth I could have had, had I actually hunkered down and learned about it, man, I probably would have done it earlier, but everything in its own time. But I would say that, and then after that, through EO, the MIT program, the EMP at MIT, the Harvard did in November in 2019, the Global Speakers Academy that I did that just happened now to really show there's now a form to my presentations and my talks instead of just winging it. My winging it worked, but the form that I learned is so much more impactful. So now I'm really a big proponent on not education in the traditional sense necessarily. I don't think you need to go and get an undergrad degree and then an MBA, but you need to follow in the footsteps of people that have done it over and over and over and emulate before you start to make up your own thing.
Yeah. Love that. And so it's just learning. And
yes,
sometimes the easiest way to learn is just from someone else. And
absolutely.
The mission of the Proven Entrepreneur is just get people to share their stories so other people can learn. So love that. Thank you so much. Okay. Now, tough question. What about a hard lesson? Something that happened where it was like, this really hurts. Mm-hmm. Okay. But maybe not, but maybe today in retrospect, it's like it was positive, but I did not enjoy it. So a hard lesson you could share?
I think the hard lesson for me, the hardest thing is the people operations within a company. Knowing how to interview, knowing how to hire and onboard and develop. And then when something goes wrong, that's where I really felt the most pain in my company. And it was very painful because I took it so personally. And I realize now, looking back, that if I had the mindset hired an outsourced CEO or an outsourced general manager, they would never be that hurt. Never. Yeah. But it affected me, my mental being, my health. And so I really started learning how to circumvent the bad choices that we sometimes end up with. Not that the person is a bad person, but they're not a good fit. And then what do you do with them in a small company? It's hard for them to move to a different place. Feelings get hurt. I learned a lot of lessons about what not to do. And I wasn't a great manager. And Don, I am a pretty severe introvert. I'm very outgoing and I really do love talking with you on this interview, but I could only spend about an hour and a half or 2 hours with you in person, and then I'm depleted. And that doesn't really work too well when you run a business and you have to manage people. But now I explain to my employees, here is who I am. This is what you're going to get, and this is what you're not going to get. I'm not going to micromanage you. You have to manage yourself. Come to me anytime you need help. But that lesson was kind of, it took a long time. Now, I haven't perfected it. And if anyone has, I'd really like to know what their secret is. But for instance, through the EMP at MIT, I met Jeffrey Smart, who wrote the book Who. And that really helped me streamline the process, and then EOS traction as well. How do you mark and rank people without feelings getting hurt?
Yeah, so common with entrepreneurs that, you know, holding people accountable is in their blind spot. They're typically overdosed on giving. And so they give maybe too much. And then it's hard to hold people accountable. I was on a panel in a workshop, and we were talking about HR, and generally people bring me in to talk about sales because I know how to help you ring the cash register. And that's kind of like being the party girl at any party around entrepreneurs, you know, they like that. But somehow I was trespassing with these HR pros, and, you know, one of my businesses in the contact center business, phone calls. And so, I don't know, we've had 10,000 employees or more, a lot.
And but at that point, Don, you don't even know all of your employees, and you aren't feeling that personal angst.
Absolutely true. And my favorite employee is actually the one who's productive that I don't know their name. Okay. Because I want to leverage what we produce. And that just means I can't know everybody. I shouldn't know everybody. But I shared in this panel, somebody was talking about losing a valued team member and how, you know, devastated they were that this, you know, and I don't know if they were number two or number 62 in their company, but anyhow, they were hurt. And my comment was, they all leave. No one will be there at the end. And there was this hush over the room. And the moderator said, who's a good friend, said, "Don, that might be a little harsh." And I'm like, well, it might be.
That might be a little true.
But it is the truth. Yeah. You know, no one will be there forever. And so, you know, it pays to have some professional distance.
Yeah.
To where a company can breathe, people can leave and come in, and it's not, you know, the end. I mean, we're not in high school, and it's not like I lost my girlfriend of 2 weeks, you know, we're hopefully past that. So, okay. What about a golden nugget? Something that you've learned that you hold near and dear to your heart that you could share that we should know, that we want to know?
I would say one of the biggest factors of my success outside of the education was seeing in 2013 that I was doing things 2, 3, 4 times over and no systems and processes in place. So without knowing how big my company was going to get, I built a system within Salesforce. And without going into the minutiae, the general idea is 1 year in 2019, we did 777 events. And if you know anything about events, there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of detail with 2 people in operations.
Wow.
And that is because of the system I built and continue to tweak and improve to this day. And I really enforce with my employees, if you see an inefficiency, if you see a moment where we could automate something that is repeatable and low, you know, sort of low hanging fruit, you must tell me. It's your responsibility to tell me. because even though it costs some money to implement, we can't afford not to do it. So I was so excited to be asked by Salesforce to speak at Dreamforce, their big conference for 200,000 people. I was their little golden child of the small business sector because I was using Salesforce now. A, not really what it was built to do. And B, they said I used it in a much more sophisticated way than they even do. So there's a lot of pride there for me. And my golden nugget would be, it may be awkward, it may seem impossible, you might not want to do it, but writing down everything that you do in your business and creating a process that is repeatable, creating a manual so that you can onboard people exactly the same way, and then stepping it up one more is creating training videos. It's free and easy to do. Why wouldn't you not do it? So yeah. there's my gold.
That's a great nugget. I have a really good friend. She had probably the forerunner to Gymboree, and she built it up to 28 locations, some in the US, but some out. But she hired a company to come in and document everything. She didn't know how to document it. So, you know what you do when you don't know how? You just hire somebody who does know how.
Delegate.
You know, I always figure if you have a problem that you can write a check for and the problem goes away, then you don't really have a problem. And so that's what she did. And that becomes a marketable business.
Yes. Because
people want to invest in something that has annual sales and a healthy EBITDA, and it's process driven. That's sellable. So, okay, we've got the time machine here. Okay, the Back to the Future DeLorean, and we're going to give you 5 minutes to go back and talk to your 20-year-old self. Mm-hmm. Now, in that 5 minutes, you can't stay longer than 5 minutes. And you can only share one piece of advice that would have helped you in your entrepreneurial journey mm-hmm. that you know now that you didn't know when you were 20. Okay. And I'd give that long explanation to give people time to think about what they're going to say. But what would you tell 20-year-old Natasha that you know now?
I would say be relentless and tenacious in asking questions, especially of people that you think aren't accessible to you. You know, we hear now, Don, as seasoned entrepreneurs, just ask, you never know, they'll say yes. It's really true. And I didn't have that access, or I didn't think I did. I didn't think I was qualified to ask questions of mentors or advisors or people that were in the scary, you know, places of, you know, leadership. And I didn't do it. Yeah. I forged my own way. And, you know, that illustration of, you know, kind of spaghetti, this is how you get somewhere. That's how I got to where I'm at today.
Yeah.
But had I asked the questions of the people that could have really led me, that I wouldn't say it'd be a straight shot, but it'd be more like, you know, it's a little more direct.
Yeah, I so love that. So I was at an event, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, horrible time. I recognized this guy sitting at a table, but I couldn't place who he was. And it turned out to be Roland Frazier of Digital Marketer. Mm-hmm. And we were chatting and he asked me what I was doing. I was like, well, I do this, and I do that, and I do this. And it's all really good. I don't really care about it very much, but you know, it's good. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, I really want to spend my time doing this other thing. And, you know, and his reply was, and why aren't you? And, you know, that seems pretty simple, but it was an epiphany to me. Like, why aren't I doing that? I'm not physically, mentally, emotionally, financially unable to do that.
Right.
I just haven't taken the first step.
And did you need him to give you that little sparkle of?
I'll just say the confrontation. And if for any of you who know Roland, he is, you know, one of the, he's as nice as Natasha, you know, it was said with all love, but it was just like, and why haven't you? And, but just hearing that from outside, learn, you know, learning from others from a different viewpoint, you know, wrote the first book, second book, third book, fourth book, speak everywhere, help people raise more money. And all of that fills my spirit and soul. Okay. So we just have a couple minutes left, but I want to talk about the introvert extrovert thing. Mm-hmm. So on a scale of 1 to 100, 100 is the extrovert who must work the room. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1 is the introvert who, oh my gosh, don't make me talk to anybody. One of my mm-hmm. business partners who I love her to death, but that's her. Okay. What's your number? 100 is the most extroverted.
Right.
1, the most introverted.
So I work a room. I'm very outgoing. I'm very confident. And I love being in the room for a short time. And then I have to leave. I have to leave and be by myself. And introversion is refueling by yourself. So if I had to give myself a number, it would be maybe 70, 75. But I spend 75 to 85% of my time alone, and I have to.
I totally get it. And so, I don't know, 25 years ago, I was entertaining going into a partnership with a gentleman, and he was like, "We have to take Myers-Briggs for me to even consider it." And I was like, "Whatever," and so I took it. And he's like, "We have to take it again because it's wrong." And I'm like, I don't think you can trick these, you know, psychological profiles." And he said, "Well, it says that you're a very strong introvert," and I was like, "So true. I'm a very strong introvert. I can do the gregarious, charming thing better than a lot of people that are outgoing, but it just literally drains me." And so at a speaking event, I won't talk to anyone. She knows, don't look at him. Don't breathe his air. Don't ask him a question because I want to show up to the mic and the stage with everything I have.
Yep.
Because when I leave, I'm leaving with nothing. And so I can stick around and say hi for a little bit, but then I got to go away.
Yeah. And I take it to another level that actually you probably do, because you kind of described that. I conserve energy sometimes days up to a week before I know I have to do something. It's not that I'm nervous. It's not that I'm scared, but I just hunker down. And it's a complicated, it's kind of a confusing thing to describe, especially in entrepreneurship. So I'm glad we're having this conversation. So hopefully that will open up everyone's minds.
Yeah, I was at an event. So I'd like to go to a trade show or a convention.
Kill me now.
I'll only attend the morning or the afternoon.
Right.
And that's it. And when everybody wants to go out for dinner and whatever, I'm like,
hey, no, I'm in the hotel learning Duolingo Spanish.
I'm like, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on empty right mm-hmm. now. And mm-hmm. so, but many entrepreneurs, I saw this done at a convention one time where this lady had everybody stand up, and in about 4 or 5 questions, she had separated the room. You know, she asked a question, said, "Okay, you guys go this way and you other guys go that way. And then you go to this corner and you go to that corner." But in not very many questions, I think 4 questions, she had separated the room into introverts and extroverts. And then the powerfuls versus the pleasers, the precises versus the playfuls, and really quickly. And then the cool thing about that is that if you're an entrepreneur or want to be an entrepreneur, the room, which was probably 200 people, it was about a quarter. Every entrepreneur isn't, you know, Tony Robbins. Every entrepreneur is not Bill Gates.
Right. And Tony may be an introvert. I mean, he does spend a lot of time on the stage, but you can't tell. You can't tell someone. It's not shyness. So,
yeah, exactly right. How you recharge your batteries. Yeah. So if someone wanted to reach out to you, Natasha, what's the easiest way to do that?
The easiest way is through my personal brand website, which is natashamiller.co. And if you're interested in looking at Entire Productions, that's entireproductions.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much. So good to see you. I'm thrilled that you would come on the show today, and I can't wait to see you in person again.
It was my sincere pleasure. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you, Natasha. That's today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show.
That's today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur. Go to provenentrepreneurshow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of the Proven Entrepreneur.